Yeah, the bar part is true. That's it's amazing what God was able to do. My mother was saved mightily, as we all are. Just remembering her this past week, and it was just, boy, what grace. What grace God showed saving her and my stepfather, and it just it's a great memory. Thanks for sharing that. It's a great thing that we have. We have a Savior that loves us, don't we? Amen? Whew, so where to start? Well, there's a couple things that I was going off on tangents because just fun. I noticed the time, and I hope that you're not like this group here that says, for you're not come unto the mount that might be touched and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of the words, which voice they heard, that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. Please stop. They're at the mount, and it was on fire, and God was speaking, and they said, please stop. We don't want to hear it anymore. We're scared. We just can't handle it. And even Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. So I hope you're not like that group that says, you know, we've had enough today, and thanks, so it's time for us to go away. I feel like Dr. Seuss there. All righty. Speaking of thorn in the flesh, boy, we've had a few in this church, let me tell you right now. Some here are some real thorns. I'm just saying. And, you know, I've learned to appreciate that so much so because it shows my weakness and it shows my sin. And God has worked a lot in that area for me especially. So I just appreciate more and more the fellowship of believers and the diversity that he brings to the table. And he forces us to move forward, doesn't he? And Philippians, we've been there and we're going to be there probably about 3 years talking about Philippians and just learning to abound in love one toward another. And we're going to see unity and all these things are brought up in Philippians. I've read ahead a little bit, so I know what's there. But we won't be there in the unity part for 2 years. But it's fun to just focus on the book of Philippians. And Pastor G just gave me another thing to think about. This thorn in the flesh, it's always taught, you know, by most, it's something to do with his eyes or something. I like the idea of the messenger of Satan is a person. And it really resonates with me because Paul says, check this out. I'm in prison and I'm handcuffed to the Praetorian Guard. What fun that must be with a guy that probably bathes very few times and is a masterful killer. And you're chained up to him. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Now, get this. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach of Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to avoid affliction in my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. You know, these guys were following Paul along throughout his ministry, Judaizers and Stoics and all these other things, all these terms, but they're not preaching the gospel. And Paul had them trailing him. And I believe they were right there in the crowds based on what I've seen because they stirred the crowd up so much so that the crowd pulled Paul out and stoned him and killed him, dragged him out in the streets, stripped him, beat him, threw him in prison. These were the people that this might be the messenger of Satan. This might be the group. So interesting point. Not what I was going to talk about. All right. I was going to talk about, and I am going to talk about, the gospel. Why? Because that's what we do. And if I were to look for a place that was very succinct in the gospel, I would go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And now you're going to ask, why are you going to do this? Well, first off, it's Pastor G's fault. I was reading along with him, and he was teaching on the blood of Christ, and I do appreciate the refresher. And just thinking on what Christ did at the cross and appreciate more of the salvation that Christ wrought on the cross. And there was an interesting verse there In 1 Peter, you don't need to turn there. I'm just going to read it to you. 1 Peter 1:18. For as much as you know that you were redeemed or not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So I read that, and naturally Pastor G preached on the blood of Christ. And of course, I looked at a different word. And why? Because this is the fun I have with it. Vain. I just had to stop there and think about that word, vain. Now, there's no reason to look at that necessarily when you're talking about the blood of Christ, except in the context that, wait a second, think about it. The vain conversation received by tradition of your fathers. Man, is that so fitting for what we see so often in the churches? This idea that you're going to learn the gospel, you're going to learn faith, solely and only by traditions. And there's a lot of churches that teach traditions. And I think I've said this. I like traditions, good ones. I like Americana. Like we had a festival this weekend, and people, there were 12 to 15,000, depending on who's estimating, people on the streets of Seneca Falls yesterday, which is absurd. 5,000 of them were running. The other 10 were just kind of milling about saying, yeah, I'll do that next time. Munch, 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 munch. But that's Americana. It's a tradition. You can find Christ in the Wonderful Life movie, and someone did that. And I think they're speaking today. They were at 10 o'clock or something. And that's great. But it's just, I love the tradition, some of it. And I like traditions in some churches. I like communion, and it's more of a, it's not so much tradition, but there is a piece of that element there, and I like to watch the people come up and get the elements and then try to remember their names, and I've got them, like I said, I almost got you all down. There's that one girl, though. She's just hard, and I like that, but vain traditions. So, you know, you focus on the word, and then I found out that in 1 Corinthians 15, yes, vain is used. And here's the fun part. It's three different words used in one chapter, all translated into King James, vain. In some of your Bibles that you might have, futile, useless, empty, something like that. And I'd like to just take a minute to talk about that because I think it's important. And it ties in so many parts of Scripture. If you're going to study Scripture, you ought to know where things are. And if you're going to study a piece of Scripture, you ought to be able to point to where those things are and tie them together. Because we learn the Scripture, word upon word, precept upon precept. But what's more important about that? What comes with the hearing of the Word of God? Oh, come now. Faith. Speak right up. Faith comes by the hearing of the Word. You know that, right? You know, where is that? Romans 10, no, sadness, 17. But you're there. You're in Romans 10. New believer knows it's in Romans 10. I praise God. That's great. Romans 10, 17. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So it's important that we hear the word of God. And when you hear it, the words are important. The words are important. So we pay attention to the very words. Every word, every jot, every tittle. It's important. So we go to this, and it says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you've received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. Instance number one. For I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And he was seen of Cephas, and then of the 12. After that, he was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. The evidence of Christ's resurrection. Isn't that amazing? It's never been refuted. Never been refuted, never been argued. It was taken as fact because it is fact. So we see one there. If we jump ahead just a little bit, verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. I am what I am. That's where they got Popeye's thing. I am what I am. I should write that down. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Very important way he structured that, vain, number two. And then if we jump down just a bit further to verse 17, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. We are yet in our sins. Number three. The use of the term is very precise. It's very different. And they have meanings that are close, but you've got to know all three words in order to gain, I think, a richer understanding of the scripture. First off, in verse 2. First, let me just dispel the first part of this verse, and I won't get into this. I've already done this before, and I'm sure that you've heard this before. The if in that sentence has nothing to do with maintaining salvation, nothing whatsoever. First-class conditional looks to the past, not to the future. Stop screwing up Scripture. If you're going to study Scripture and you're going to argue and contention and all that, you're over there in 1 Timothy, and you know what? It's a waste of time. The words are the very words. They don't mean what they don't mean. They mean what they say. And there's no sense in arguing about whether you need to work to hold on to salvation. It is refuted consistently and always in Scripture. No, there is nothing you can do to maintain your salvation. Thank God for that. How would I know how to be saved otherwise? What would I have to do right? There's nothing that you can do to do it right. Christ did it right. He paid for our sins. He died. He was buried. He rose again. And he, because of that, we are saved. He saved us from our sin through his death, burial, and resurrection. Is that pretty clear? There's nothing you need to do to hold on. Thank God. Because I would really be terrible. I would have marginal satisfactory performance in that area. I don't even think I'd be satisfactory. All right, so this first verse, vain, I hope I wrote it right. I don't think I did. I-K. It's E-I-K-E. I just didn't do the phonetic. I-K. Either way, it's without purpose, without just cause, without an object. Your faith needs an object. It needs an object, otherwise it is vain, without purpose, has nothing, no value. So our faith is in Christ. He is the object of our faith. Is that pretty cool? The faith that we have is in what Christ did. He died, in verse 3, he died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Well, I love that. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. The Scriptures tell us what was going to happen. Christ fulfilled it. Christ is the object of our faith. Without it, we have vanity. We have something that we can't possibly have any value because there's no object to it. Many today have faith in a lot of things and a lot of hopes and dreams, and they're not built on Christ. They're vanity. You can go back to Ecclesiastes and see it. Solomon expressed it all. So it's a great book to study so that you can understand that without Christ, it's vanity. It's hopeless. So there's number one, E-I-K-E. And it's faith, it's a without just cause, and there's no object to what's being talked about, and that is the belief or faith. Groovy? All right. Moving down to verse 10, I absolutely love this verse. I have a new appreciation for it. because of the connectivity. Oh, it's so cool. It is so cool. You ready for this? But by grace, by the grace of God, I am what I am. So that's the way you remember it. That's Popeye. That's my best imitation of Popeye. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. K-E-N-O-S. Kenos. But I have labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Now this vein, K-E-N-O-S, is really a picture of a vessel that contains nothing. It's a vessel that contains nothing. Now this is a particularly interesting one to me. This is by far my favorite. Thayer says, it's someone arriving without a gift. Someone without a gift. Now that should immediately spark your little engine up here, and you should immediately think of the verse that talks about the gift. Do you get it? Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10. So you got to put your finger in Corinthians, flip to the right, and go down to Ephesians. 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. And we're going to flip over to Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10. Now, it's important that you keep your finger in 1 Corinthians 15 because we're going to flip back there for a moment so you can get this because I just think this is the coolest thing. Of course, you know, I like old black and white films too, so I don't know. Maybe this isn't your bag. All right, here you go. You ready? For by grace are you saved? And it's definitely not of works. Right? By grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Faith, by structure of sentence, is the gift of God. Not of yourselves reflects back on grace. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, think about this for a minute. If I read over there in 1 Corinthians 15, I read, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God. Do you see the connection where grace is building up this person and they're working all the more abundantly? They're doing something with their faith. They're doing something with their faith. They're not of empty vessel. They're not an empty vessel. They're not wind blowing in the air like a bunch of hot air. One thing I've learned on boards, I serve on too many boards of directors for too many organizations, and they're all pretty much, well, they're a couple, yeah, I think they're all nonprofit. Well, there's one government, which is a joke. But there's one, there's several that are nonprofits. And one thing I've learned, wind, hot air. You don't need to turn the heat up in a board of directors meeting usually because there's a lot of hot air being blown about. Empty words, nothing there, baby. They're not doing a thing. They're not going to do anything. They're just there for the letterhead. There are some, but most of them are empty, valueless, empty vessels. Now, when I think about works, where might I look other than Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10? I certainly would go to James chapter 2, right? I would want to go there and talk about it because it's so important that you know where things are. James chapter 2 is a great teaching on faith and works. You can't work to save it yourself nor to save your salvation, as dumb as that sounds. People believe this. I get saved by grace, and then somehow I got to hold on to that. Contrary to all scripture that says, no, God's got his hand around you, that's around Christ, And there's no way that can be broken. You can't be pulled out. You can't be pulled out. And you say, well, what if people are walking away and they're turning into something, you know, their lives don't reflect it. I don't know even if they're saved. They go out from among us because they weren't part of us. It's time we start just, you know, listen. If you're acting a fool out there and you're drinking and you're on drugs, or if you're not living like a Christian ought to, you ought to be scared. You ought to step back and think about that. How can you be saved? Did you place your faith in Christ? Are you resisting the chastisement of the Lord? Are you accepting and receiving the trials that you're in and growing by it? There's bad things that happen to people. I'm telling you what, there's some awful things, and I see him stand through that and hupomone, stand under it. And we go through it together. Part of the reason that you're not surviving through these things is because you forsake the assembling together of yourselves as the manner that you ought to be doing it, something like that. And over there in Hebrews. But the point is, that's really, most of the time you're falling away, most of the time that you're having the problems, you're not in a church. And I don't mean just pick a church. I don't mean just come here once in a while. I don't mean just show up and warm up a pew on a nice Sunday afternoon. I'm talking about be a part of the church where you're serving and ministering and being a part of the body. And by golly, I know what's happening in your lives. This is a problem. And that's why you're falling. And there's time, you know what? We need to preach it. We need to teach it. And we need to exhort with all long-suffering and all that. But by golly, you're going to hear it. Hey, you know why you're having this problem? Because you're not in the church. You're not serving. Why is my finances all screwed? You're not serving. If you were serving, you wouldn't have time to spend the money. If you were serving, you wouldn't have all that loose time where your little mind starts to imagine all the things that it wants to do, James chapter 1. And you're enticed and you're drawn away like a fish on a string with a hook on the end, and you're being sucked into the shore. And there's nothing you could do. You can fight it, but you just sucked in through your own strength. There's nothing you could do. But God says, I can do it. I can do it. I'll take you through it. Don't worry. Just yield. So much that we could talk about. But go back to James chapter 2. Verse 14, what does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and has not works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart. You know, we know people like this. Peace. Oh, that's great. I don't know if I can help in that ministry because I don't have peace about it. How stupid is that? I'm sorry. And be warmed and filled. Notwithstanding, you give them not those things which are needful to the body. What does it profit? Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead. Being alone. Isn't that what it's pointing to in 1 Corinthians 15? But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. No, you can't go. You can't. God can't get closer to you. But there's something here that we have to try to understand, and maybe we can't in our little finite minds. But this is it. If we would yield to God, there's something that happens, and it's a feeling, maybe it's a knowledge. We're closer to God. I'm more confident in my faith as I allow God to work in my life, and I do things with my faith. You know, what's really cool is we see these young men and women participating in the service in little pieces. And, you know, we've got the bass player, we've got the drum player, the bongo player, the piano player, and there's still room for more. And I know there's three young ladies that are working on different instruments, and, you know, someday, I hope they're up here. Four. There's four young ladies. I thought it was four. And there's room right here. get better at it first because, you know, you're kind of awful right now. But here's the good news. You're better than I am at it. Give me that violin. Let me tell you what sounds. I'll give you some sounds. I can't read a note, so God bless you. There's room. You know, we got Liam today. Did a horrible job. No, he did a great job. He found verses, and he gave me my class lesson this morning, right off the cuff. You know, we got things happening. Young men coming up and taking offering. Young ladies doing it, too. You ought to be looking. You guys are the ones that ought to be looking for something to do because I know you're wicked little sinners. I know what's going through your little minds, and you need to be involved. I know. Little Katie's up here. It's so sweet, isn't it? No, you're just a naughty little girl. And we want to get you involved in the church. That's where it happens. And you say, what can I do? Well, I think you could vacuum. I think you could paint. I don't know. Not right now, though. Soon, you can organize. There's a lot that you could do. And that's what's cool. This is what we need to do with our faith. We need to put it to work. And this is the word. We're empty. You're not an empty vessel. That's such a cool picture. And to tie it to James 2, it just fits together so well. Here's the one that really gets me. As you're reading James 2, and there's an interesting verse that kind of dangles out there. And it says in verse 19, thou believest there is one God. Thou, you do well. The devils also believe and tremble. And there's a contrast between belief and faith. Maybe we need a class on that. Belief and faith. Hey, listen, I believe Abraham Lincoln lived. I believe it. I do. Okay, now what? I didn't put my faith and trust in him at all. He's dead. Been a long time gone. Faith. I believe that there's a Jesus Christ. That's not saving. There are a lot of people believe that there was a Jesus Christ. A lot of them. Some have mischaracterized who he is. That he was a created being. Wrong. No. Some believe that he's this really cool teacher. Great guy. Sure. Not there. Believing. There's a difference. Satan believes that there's a God. In fact, he knows there's a God. He talks to him. Job chapter 1, isn't it funny? He actually, literally, this guy talks to God. Face to face. Now, he's not going to heaven. That's not. How does he do that, by the way? All the joy and happiness in heaven that we picture, and there's Satan talking to God. It's interesting. Isn't that interesting? Just something to think about. I don't have the answer. But the point is this. Faith is placing your eternity with Christ and believing the work that he did. Died for sin, was buried, and rose again, and is coming back for me. And that's enough for me to be with God forever. What Christ did for us, for me, that's enough. And I place my faith and trust in that. The closest thing I can get to faith is this. I pull out some money right here. See? Ooh, it's a 20. Wow. Did you know I had a 20? No, you didn't. We would have spent that yesterday. They took it off because it's not true anymore, but you have faith that this has value, right? You take this and you go to the store and they take it and they say, okay, 20. What do they do with it, by the way? What do they mark it with? A little pen, right? And if it comes out the wrong color, uh-oh. I mean, that's a great lesson. You look it up here. Have you ever looked at these? You ever look at a 20? All right, you're a kid. You have good eyes, right? Okay. If you hold it up to the light like this, let me just see it. Let me just do it first because I can't see. Yeah, where is it? All right. Look right here on this side. Okay. What do you see? Hold up to the light. He's looking at it, just he's going to verify. Yeah, to the that way more. There's a little stripe. You see the stripe?
Is it
words
on it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like an eye test. The words say something like USA 20. Does it say it? USA 20. How about that? A square on both sides. That's it. You got to give it back to me because I'm not giving you a 20. You didn't earn it, but you did good. That stripe was put there by those that created this so you could tell it was real. So you hold it up. It's right there. It's a little band that runs through it. You might say it's a band of faith, but it's a band. Then there's another one. I can't see it on this one. Oh, there it is. Okay. One of the kids that are awake. All right. Look right here. Hold it up to the light. Tell me what you see. Send it down that way. Hold it right up so you can get it in the light. You got to look in the light. We hate the light. See, this is because you're little sinners. Do you see it? Well, Derek's not going to see it. Come on, Derek. You're going to see it? I don't have more of them. I'm certainly not going to give more to the Martins.
Good luck
getting that back, right? He's got his folding it up. And that's the one, too, right there, the naughty one. Just give that right back here, you little. So they're not helping at all. What did you see? Did you see anything?
No, I just wanted it so I
could take it. I know. I got to go down to the next level. All right, another. Here you go. I got to find it again. It's on this side. There it is. No, not words. It's terrible. There it is. You have to look really close. It's right there. Right where my finger is. Look in the light. Hold it up to the light. Go in the window. Hold it up to the, wow. This is, by the way, this is like looking at a vase, holding it up to see if any cracks are in it. You ever see that in the scriptures? You have. Now you got to tell me what the word is. It's a Greek word. You guys are terrible. Can you see it? No, it's a face. Do you see the face? Not that one. Look, hold it up there. You see the face right there?
No.
That's because your dumb glasses are no good. This one, right here. Right there. See his face? It's the same there as there, except it's tinier. You're killing me. Yeah, it's there. There's another face. It's buried right here. And it's on a 50, 100, and a 20. And it tells you it's real. There's more than one way to tell it's real. There's micro print. Where's the micro print? Now you're really testing me. They took it off of this one. There's micro print. There it is. These lines right here under the date and the series. Right there, that right there. See that line? It's not a line. It's words. Yeah, you can't see it, but you got to look close. That's another test. It's real. Christians have the same thing. One of the tests is works. And it's not to keep it. It's not to justify before God. It's to justify before men and perhaps the man looking in the mirror. So the question is, am I saved? Look in the mirror. Am I saved? What are your works? James chapter 2. You should be doing something. You say, well, I'm not doing anything. You're a loser. But more important, you might not be saved. Boy, you say, well, I should get to work. No, I want you to evaluate it. I want you to evaluate your situation. That's all. And Paul says, I labored more than them all, but not I, the grace of God. So the work that you do is also a gift from God. And he gives us gifts, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12. These are the things, the things that we have to do the works. Gifts of the Holy Spirit. Aren't you excited about that? That's a different word than in verse 2. And it's a word that says, don't be an empty vessel. That's vain. Empty vessel. Hey, one more. You okay? Am I You're staying awake? All right, move on. Verse 10, check it out. Did that one already. Try again. Verse, different verse. What did I say? 17. And if Christ be not raised, your faith, oh, man, is vain. Oh, man. This is the same one as 1 Peter 1:18. Remember we read that? For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your father. This is M-E-T. M-E-T. It's not M-I-C, I know. M-E-T. The rat comes out with a new movie. Oh, boy. M-E-T-A-I-O-S. M-E-T-A-I-O-S. Mateos. Mateos. Or os. Mateos. Os. Mateos. Mateos. Something like that. Mateos. Why don't you take Greek? This is why. I can't do it. I can't say the word. I'm doing it ever so slowly. But don't expect me to speak it too much. This one is useless. No purpose. Devoid of truth. That's the one. Bing, 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 bing. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is devoid of truth. And you are still in your sins. Wow. That resurrection is pretty important. Hey, good news. Starting in January, we have a class on Revelation. And it talks about the resurrected Christ coming back. You're going to learn things like rapture. You're going to know the term millennial reign. You'll actually hear about that. Won't that be fun? Yeah, it sounds like you're very enthusiastic. Gosh, yes. You know, golly beef, I'd like to go too. Wow. All right. Using all those terms little kids don't know. Wally and Beaver, leave it to Cleaver. Whatever. Whatever. That's the fake one. Leave it to Cleaver. That's not even, that's bad. Cleaver is a meat thing that you slice up meat. Leave it to Cleaver. Katie's like her father. No, I don't get it. What are you talking about? All right, that's all right. Well, you know, you got it. You were here and you got it. I see that. So this thing is, this is pretty interesting. It's devoid of the truth. And if in this life only we have hope in Christ, verse 19, we are of all men most miserable. Boy, Pastor G mentioned that a lot of people are like sourpusses, Christians, and saith and doeth and all that. They're the most miserable. You see that? Most miserable. Can you imagine being men most miserable? Three different times, and many more in the 1 Corinthians 15, that uses vain a few times, but three different terms. Three different terms, three different meanings, used in three different contexts. I want to tell you, it's important to study the Word of God because it's rich and it has a lot of things in it that we need to know, and the words are precise. He couldn't have used the different words in the different places. First off, some are verbs, some are nouns. But more so, they mean different things. So it's important that you study the scriptures. If you don't have the tools, we heard a testimony, Dennis, the other day, has tools now, and he can study the scripture. Glenn, close. So he has tools, and he's enjoying to, he lays it down. He has the book form, and he lays them down, and you read them. You know, I found new things with Thayer's something or other, something like that. It's a dictionary, Vine's dictionary and some other dude. But it's pretty cool. You pull that up, it gives a little more richness, and it shows a whole bunch of Greek letters, and they're like, you know, spaghetti to me. But it's interesting. Verse 2 is E-I-K-E, faith with no object. We have an object, and that object is Christ. We place our faith in something real and tangible that there's evidence of. No question. He was raised from the dead. 500 people seen him. No one ever has refuted it. It's real. Second, in verse 10, it's K-E-N-O-S, kenos, an empty vessel. You have your faith. It should be real, tangible, real. You're not empty. There's works. You are a vessel that's created by God for good works. And without it, I want you to really think about where you are. Have you placed your faith in Christ? There's evidence that there is. One of them is works. It's not how you hold it. It's not how you get it. But it is an evidence. Number three, verse 10, K-E-N-O-S. No, did that one already. I meant number three was verse 17, M-E-T-A-I-O-S. Good luck pronouncing it, Mateus. Hey, I said it right. That is a faith devoid of the truth, given to us through traditions of men oftentimes. You just, wow. Interesting, Chris brought up that if we were to play the game telephone and I were to whisper into Katie's ear something, some phrase, and she were to whisper it to this young man and he were to whisper it to that young man and so on all the way down, and it got back up here and Sue was the last person and she came up and she'd tell me what was said, it would be totally, totally wrong, not even close to the beginning. Traditions of men. That's what happens. It gets twisted and turned. Our Bible, over thousands of years, tells a consistent story that's unchanging, that is wholly the truth, and we haven't screwed it up. Though everybody's tried, even the versions that are terrible, scream out the truth. If we search the scriptures, God is faithful, and he's going to tell us the truth through the scriptures. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So this morning, I want you to think about 1 Corinthians 15. First off, has the gospel in it very clear. Do you believe it? Have you placed your faith in a risen Christ, one that paid the price for sin? Second, if you've placed your faith in Christ, is it genuine such that there is work that is exhibited in your life? Are you involved? Now, some of you are young. You say, well, I'm not involved. If you're coming to Sunday school and you're doing the homework, that's work. If you're doing the instruments and you're trying to praise God with it and bring glory to him, that's awesome. If you're here cleaning the church and you're walking around picking up garbage, that's works. If you're reading your Bible at school or at home and you're doing it on a regular basis and you're just trying to learn more about God, that's works. These are evidences for you. And lastly, you know, our faith is not in vain. It's in a risen Christ, and he's real. And someday, soon, he's going to snatch us up, those that believe, and we're going to be with him forever. For those that are left behind, there's going to be an opportunity to get saved. It's going to be very hard. So come to the Lord while you can, so you can be with him for eternity. It's simple. Place your faith in the finished work, in a Christ that died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. Just place your faith. I trust that. That's enough. Everything that you've done is sufficient for me, and I understand that. If you believe that, you're saved. Now, get busy. Get busy. Learn more about God. Take the class. By the way, good news. We have a class in January. It's going to be on the book of Revelation. Based on what I've seen in Sunday school, some of y'all need it. And it'll be good. Listen, it's where I started my walk when I was a young lad, about that age right there, that one in the suit there. How old are you? Yep, I was 9 years old. My first study in the Bible was the book of Revelation at your age. That's what I did. And I studied that book, probably the wrong place to be, but that's what I did. And I've never regretted studying that, because that ignited a fire that has never died, to know where things are. It's very, very interesting stuff. So January, that starts. That's great news, isn't it? Aren't you excited? So with that, anything else? You good? He's good. All right, let's close with prayer. Lord, we thank you so much for all that you're doing. We thank you for the Word of God. Oh, I'm really thankful for American currency, because we can learn from that. How do we know we're real? How do we know? I want to be sure I'm saved. There's ways to know. First off, place your faith in something, which is Christ, his finished work on the cross. Place your faith in that. Listen, we are sinful. We're not going to heaven without him. So someone had to pay that price for sin. Christ did it. The Bible tells me that, and frankly, I believe it. It also tells me he was buried, and he rose again the third day, and he's coming back for me. I believe that he's the way, the truth, and the life. There's no man that comes to the Father but by Christ. I believe it. I've placed my faith in it. And now I'm saved. But as a saved person, help us, Lord, as we're saved, help us to yield, to become part of a church, to get active and busy in ministry, to study the Word of God, to come to know you more, and to tell others. That's how we know. That's how we know. We love the brethren, we love your Word, and we serve. 1 John, all the way through. Simple stuff. We don't need anything fancy. So help us, Lord. Help us in this area to be very serious about it. We know we're saved. And then rest in that and move on. Don't revisit it. The decision's made. It's done. That's it. So if there's those that are struggling today, help us, Lord. Help us to reach out to each other here. We've got some men right here in this church, some ladies in this church that can help. But frankly, we've got to get in that Word. We've got to know where things are. So help us as we develop as a church. Thank you so much for all you're doing. We want to give special thanks today to our pastor celebrating a birthday, and thank you so much for bringing him to our church. He's one of them thorns, but he's also a blessing. So we thank you for that, Lord. May he continue to be rich in blessing, to be fruitful in all things. And we thank you for the opportunity to serve. In Christ's name we pray, amen. We have a wrap afterwards if you're interested. Front building.